Hey everyone, my name is Zach, and thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. We are so glad that you're here, and we want to connect with you and your family. The easiest way to do that is to text River Church to 97,000. There you can ask questions, submit prayer requests, and even support the River Church financially. At the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and be a blessing in any way that we can. You can also visit our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope you are blessed by today's message.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Justin Forzan. I am the student director here at the River Church Waterford, and I am super excited to be here with all of you. I work with the 6th through the 12th graders here. That's the middle school and high school ministry, and it is just such an honor to be with you this morning, able to open up the Word of God with you all, and to be in the book of Psalms. We are going through the entire book of Psalms, actually. If you're new, or maybe you're just tuning in with us this week, maybe this is your first time here, our summer series is Psalms, and we're not hitting every single one because, well, that would put us about 150 weeks into a sermon series, and that's a little bit much. I like to say, instead, we're touching on the major Psalms, a lot of the big ones, the ones we're familiar with, like Psalm 22, Psalm 1 maybe you're familiar with, Psalm 23, and today is no exception to that. Whether you know you're familiar with it or not, you probably are. It's Psalm 46. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up to the 46th Psalm. I told Pastor Roy that's how I was going to start referring to Psalms instead of Psalm 46. It's the 46th Psalm. I really enjoy it. Before we get into it, though, I want to ask you all a question. Are you a forgetful person? Do you forget things often? Do you need to be reminded of things? I know if I was sitting in the audience, my wife would be looking at me because I'm a forgetful person, much like spouses I see looking at their significant other right now. I forget things all the time. It's a problem for me. I live and I die by my calendar app. If it's not in my app, I won't show up. Quite literally, I had a gentleman in the congregation I was supposed to get breakfast with a couple months ago, and it wasn't in my calendar. So instead of calling me that morning, Sunday morning rolled around, he came and said, "Hey dude, where were you?" And I had to look at him and go, "I'm so sorry, I did not show up. It wasn't in my calendar and I forgot." I am a forgetful person. I have to be reminded of things. It's who I am, but that's okay because part of my job is remembering names and remembering people, so I have to be very intentional about that. And when we look, or we think about how forgetful we can be as just people, when we look at Psalm 46, what we'll see is Psalm 46 is a lot of things. It is a song, it is a praise, it is a promise, and it is a reminder. So, as we go through this, I just want you to think to yourself, as we work verse by verse through this psalm, do you remember the Lord? Do you need to be reminded? Are you someone who forgets about him? Let's pray and we'll dive in. Oh Lord, we're just so grateful for today. So grateful for the ability to be here, to be able to hear your word. Lord, I pray that you speak through me and that I'm able to divide your word of truth, Lord, very clearly. And it's not me, it's your Holy Spirit. Thank you for everybody here, and I pray that they have ears to hear. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Psalm 46. Before we even get started in verse 1, there's a little heading here I want to touch on. It says, "To the choir master of the sons of Korah, according to Alamoth, a song." Now, if you don't know by now, the Psalms were designed to be sung, right? They're made to as songs. They're made to be used with instruments and to be sung. This one specifically is identified as a song. It says, written by the sons of Korah. So I believe this might be the first one we actually have so far in our series that isn't by David. The sons of Korah were a group of Levites that lived in the temple, and their job was to sing songs. Their job was to play instruments, and they wrote this psalm. And it says, according to Alamoth, we don't know exactly what that is. We know it's supposed to be some sort of high-pitched tune, possibly by an instrument, but also possibly by a woman singing. And what really is relevant here is that it's a song. And it's a song of triumph. So Let's dive into verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. If you're like me, you've heard those words before and you weren't exactly sure where in the Bible they were. Well, it's Psalm 46. Psalm 46 says, starts off, the psalmist starts by proclaiming the truth of God. It says, he is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. God is our refuge. Refuge is safety, it's security, it's shelter, it's a fortress. It's, for me, when I think of refuge, what I think about is being a kid. I think about growing up in my neighborhood and having a bunch of kids that we used to play in a field with, and I have a specific memory of myself playing games in this field and getting caught by a storm I didn't know was coming. And I remember running home as fast as I could. I was getting drenched with rain. I had thunder booming above my head and lightning cracking across the sky, and I remember that feeling I had when I walked through the door for the first time. I got through the door, I felt safety. Any fear I might have had about what was to come or what was to happen fled, and I felt refuge. What's not to be missed here, as we go through this psalm and we talk about the attributes of God, the psalmist makes it very clear that this is not just something that God offers us. God does not just give us refuge. It says that God is refuge. God does not just give us a place of safety. No, our safety is in the Lord. It goes on even into the further attributes. God is our refuge and strength. It's not that God gives us strength. It's that the only strength we have is found in the Lord. And it says that he is a very present help in trouble. Now, if you're like me, you've heard people pray and you've heard things said, and I don't think anyone is malicious. I've been guilty of doing this myself, but you pray, you know, Lord, can you please be here? Lord, this person is in trouble, they're struggling. Lord, I am struggling. I am in trouble. Can you please be here for me? When the Bible very clearly, it tells us that the Lord doesn't have to be asked to show up somewhere. He's a very present help in trouble. He is here when we need him. It's not that he will one day come, or we have to say, God, can you please get here? It's that he is a very present help. In the Bible here, Psalm 46 says in verse 2, therefore, we will not fear. Therefore, we shall not fear. If these things about God are true, if he truly is refuge, and if he truly is strength, and he truly is present, we have no need to fear. Why would we? Why would we fear at all? Now, it's easy to say. It's a lot easier to live out. I know there's a lot of you here. I myself have had my world shaken where I feel fear and trembling. And it's very difficult to remember the Lord in that. To remember who he is and what he's done. We've had all sorts of problems. I know everybody here has had a different problem, a different trouble, a different thing that they fear. For some of us, it's sickness and grief, and I know for some of you it's loneliness and shame and temptation and stress and anxiety from work, and it could be kids and your chaos of life. But if these attributes of God are true, then there truly is no reason to fear. The psalm actually continues on with an example that's way bigger than anything we might ever deal with. It says, therefore we will not fear. Though the earth give way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling, we shall not fear. though the earth that we're standing on could be giving way beneath our feet, and we could see a mountain falling into the sea and the waters roaring and foaming up, the world could be coming to an end, and it wouldn't matter if the truth of God is that he is our refuge and our strength and a very present help in trouble. He is here. And then this section, it ends with this word, Selah. Now, for our Psalm series, this might be the first time this word's come up, so I want to make sure I touch on it. This is believed to be a pause or a break. It's a, because this is a song, this is a time for us to stop and to reflect on what's being said. It's time for us to think back. And after, starting in verse 4, the psalm continues on with these attributes. It says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when the morning dawns. A river whose streams make glad the city of God is a reference to the heavenly city. Through scripture, heaven is depicted as having a river flowing from it. Revelation 22:1 says, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. To Israelites, ones like the sons of Korah who wrote this psalm, they viewed a river as a source of life. A river would bring them fresh water to drink, and it would bring them food to eat. Heaven is depicted as having a river flowing from God, and even if you think back to the Garden of Eden, the source of all life, of all time, what's flowing from it? A river. Multiple. Rivers are viewed as a source of life, but again, it's not that God is giving us life. No, what does it say? God is in the midst of the river. It's not that he offers us life. It's that God is life. God is refuge. He is our safety. He is our strength. He is our life. And it keeps going. The nations rage. The kingdoms totter. He utters a voice. The earth melts. No matter what's happening, we could be facing the craziest trial we've ever faced in our life. We could be going through the hardest thing we've ever had to deal with. And guess what? All he needs to do is utter a voice, and the earth will melt. All he has to do is say, stop. All the things we see on the news, all the fear that we feel, all the things we deal with, God is in control. This is the truth of who he is. And verse 7 gives us this chorus that's repeated towards the end of the psalm. It says, the Lord of hosts is with us, and the God of Jacob is our fortress. God is refuge. He is strength. God is present. God is life. God is in control. Selah. This psalm is an amazing reminder of who the Lord is. It is truly something special. I didn't realize how special it was until I really studied it. But just all these attributes of who the Lord is, what he's done, what he's capable of, singing this song. It's a lot of things. Like I said, it's a list of his attributes. It's a praise for his goodness. It's a reminder. Why? Because when we fall into trouble in our own lives, what do we tend to do? Forget who the Lord is. Oh, maybe I'm speaking for myself. I forget who the Lord is. When I face troubles and I face things and I'm dealing with things that are bigger than anything I could ever imagine, it feels like my world is shaking beneath my feet. And it feels like my mountains are falling into the sea and my world is coming to an end, I will forget who the Lord is. I need to be reminded. I need to be reminded of how good he is, what he's done for me. The origin of this psalm really brings to light the gravity of what's being sung here. See, this psalm is a beautiful poetic promise of this spiritual salvation that the Lord offers us. It's amazing. But when we understand where it came from, the gravity gets a little bit heavier. Psalm 46 was written in the time of the kingdom era. Now, for those of you who don't know what that is, I will be glad to explain it. In the Old Testament, we have different eras that we would refer to. The kingdom era is when the Israelites were ruled by kings. And they really wanted it. Didn't go their way, though, to say the least. You can read the book of Kings and 1st and 2nd and find that they were split into two separate nations, the northern kingdom of Israel, the southern kingdom of Judah. Between both those nations, they had about 39 kings, and almost all of them were evil, to say the least. I mean, they were evil. They were wicked. They were nasty. The amount of worshiping false idols and just absolute wickedness that goes on when you read those chapters and those books is truly disgusting, to say the least. But in there, although the northern kingdom of Israel had no good kings, the southern kingdom of Judah had a few. And this psalm was written in the time of one of the handful, very few good kings, Hezekiah. Now, don't get me wrong, Hezekiah had his problems and his issues, and you can read about them yourself in the book of 2 Kings. But Hezekiah truly did seek after the Lord. The Bible makes that so clear. So clear that Hezekiah's heart was for God. But even though his heart was for God, that doesn't mean he didn't face trials. No, he faced hardship. He had trouble. He had things happen in his time that were not pleasant. During Hezekiah's reign, the nation of Assyria attacked. Now, if you remember our Jonah series a few months back, Assyria was a horrible place. Nineveh, the city of Nineveh that Jonah was trying to avoid, yeah, that's Assyria. Assyria was a bad place, full of bad people that wanted bad things to happen to Jews. And they attacked. They conquered the northern kingdom of Israel, set their sights on Judah, and started conquering all the cities on their way to Jerusalem and had Jerusalem completely surrounded. Jerusalem, the walled city, had 185,000 men sitting outside their walls. Had 185,000 soldiers waiting to set siege on the city of Jerusalem, while inside, King Hezekiah, his people, the prophet Isaiah, it would all seem completely hopeless and completely lost. Isaiah came to Hezekiah and told him, "Fear not, the Lord will save us." And that night, they went to bed, and the Bible records that the angel of the Lord came through the Assyrian camp and struck down 185,000 soldiers. The angel of the Lord defeated an entire army without the people of Israel lifting a finger. 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 35. It says, "When the people arose early in the morning, these were all the dead bodies. They went to bed and they woke up and the war was over." King Hezekiah's whole world was falling apart. Listen, we've all had our own issues and our own problems and our own trials. But I don't think anybody here has ever had 185,000 people sitting at their doorstep, knocking, wanting your head, wanting you dead. But instead of running for safety, God was his safety. Instead of being stronger than the Assyrians, God was their strength. When they needed him most, when they were in trouble, God was present. God was there. God delivered them out of the hand of this enemy. It is so amazing to read, to see the truth behind why they wrote this. It's not this just head knowledge. It's written in the eyes of saying, hey, remember what the Lord did for us. Remember how he defeated our enemies. Remember how he saved each of us. It is a beautiful poetic promise of spiritual salvation, and it is a miraculous story of the physical rescue God did for his people. See, for us, when we read this and we see what Scripture says, we can read these attributes of God listed all throughout this psalm. And we can see how, yes, it applies to his people in Israel. But these attributes are the same God. The God who saved his people in Israel is the same God that we have the opportunity to serve. The same God who saved his people in Israel is the same God who saves us. The Lord is our refuge. Yeah, because when we needed safety, when we were in trouble, what happened? Jesus Christ came. He lived a life free of sin and then died on a cross in our place. He took the sin of mankind onto himself. He went to the cross as a sacrifice for us. He died in our place so we wouldn't have to face death. And then he rose 3 days to say, look, because I am alive, you can be alive. Jesus Christ did for us what we could not do. The Lord is our refuge, absolutely. When we needed safety, he saved us. The Lord is our strength. Yep. Because we're not strong enough to save ourselves. No matter how much we put into it, no matter how much effort we try, no matter what we do, we will always fall short. But the Lord's strong enough for us. He is our strength. When we needed him, he's here. If you don't know the Lord, all you have to do is call upon his name. The Bible says in Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God has risen him from the dead, that you can be saved. Every single one of us have the opportunity to bow our lives before the Lord, sacrifice ourselves for him, and say, I want you and nothing else, to make him the Lord of our life, and to live a life that honors him, not for ourselves. Verse 8 says, come and behold the work of the Lord. Behold what he's done. Behold who he is. Behold how he has sacrificed himself for us. He saved us. This psalm is such an amazing reminder about the goodness of God. But it's a reminder in the face of trouble. Every single one of us face trouble. Just because we believe in God does not mean we will not face hardship. It does not mean we won't face trouble. Every single one of us face something. But the amazing thing, again, about this psalm, for every single one of us, though our hardships might look different, God has the same answer. In verse 10, for the first time, it's from the perspective of God. After listing all these attributes of who he is and what he's done, how he is our refuge and he is our strength and he is a very present help, he is our life, he is in control, for the first time, from the perspective of God, in verse 10, it says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. To be still, it means we stop striving. We stop trying to do things our own way. We yield our control. We say, I know I've been doing this thing my way and living my own life, but to be still is to rest in the Lord and know who he is. To remember the truth of him. What he's done for each of us. It's to remember him. Because we forget. We forget when we're in our troubles. But really, it doesn't matter what hopelessness or trouble we might face. For some of us, it's addiction. I know some of you deal with it. Trust me, I am blessed enough to be in relation with a lot of you, and I know there's those of you here who deal with addiction and different things, and I know every single day you wake up and you want things to just end, and you want to be better, and you want to be sober, and I get it. And then you fall, and you're discouraged, and you're afraid of what's going to happen in the future. Guess what God's answer is? Be still and know that I am God. There's some of you here who are mourning. You have people who you've lost, whether it's through death or it's through divorce or some way, shape, or form, and you're scared, you don't know what the world's going to look like without them. You feel like your world has ended. He says, be still and know that I am God. For some of you, it's health. Some of you wake up every day and you want to be better. And you don't know why it's happening to you. You don't know why you feel this way. You don't know why it has to be you, why you have to deal with it. Why can't it be somebody else? Why do I have to be in pain every single day? And you're scared of what the future holds. You're scared of what it looks like. He says, be still and know that I am God. Be calm. Rest in the Lord. Remember who he is. Remember what he's done for us. How he saved each of us. And we call upon his name and we lay our life down for him. The Lord of hosts is with us, and the God of Jacob is our fortress. I know there are those of you here who, as I'm talking about this, you think to yourself, you know, Justin, that's really easily said. It's so easy to say, just remember the Lord and all the troubles in your life, they'll be better. Trust me, I get it. I know it's easily said. It's a lot harder to do. It's a lot harder to not fear when you're in the face of hardship. It's a lot harder to not fear when you have uncertainty of what the world's going to bring your way. When you're worried about what the future holds. You're worried about what's happening to you or to your loved ones. 2 Corinthians 12:9. God says to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. He doesn't give us hardship so we can just be fine. And, you know, because he wants to. No, he gives us hardship, we get hardship, we get trials, and he doesn't always solve them, I should say, because he wants us to draw near to him. Because his power is made perfect in our weakness. He calls us to come near to him. It doesn't mean that we don't struggle. It means that he's here for us through it. See, for me, this year has been tough. I am someone who doesn't easily admit stuff like this, but I can't talk about troubles and not bring this up. I personally have had a tough year from January till today. I have had one of the harder years of my life. For those of you who know me, you know I've had a lot of hard years. I've had a lot of tough ones. This one's been particularly a little harder. Finishing up my first year of ministry full time and just facing a lot of things coming my way, my wife's way, through health concerns and a parent on his deathbed and the threat of losing family because of things going on. Trying to start a family. Having depressing and disappointing news from doctors. things that you don't want. And you want to be just done with, and you want to be over, and you want to get through. But what I found myself doing this year, contrary to how I normally am, is I've actually been leaning towards the Lord. See, typically I'm the kind of person who likes to dig my heels in the sand and run at my problems head on instead of look at God in any way, shape, or form. I just want to figure it out for myself. I want to deal with things myself. I don't want to put it on God. I don't want to put it on anybody else. No, I'll solve my problems. But this year, through all this hardship and all the trial, I can tell you firsthand that my faith has been deepened. It's not through anything that I'm capable of. It's through the Lord. Remembering who he is, remembering what he's done, remembering how he is our refuge and our strength, how it's not anything we can do, it's not in our own power, it's not in my control, it's all up to the Lord. It's all up to him. At every step, when I normally would fall away from the Lord and move away, or sorry, I should say, start to rely on myself, I've been relying on the Lord. And I can tell you firsthand, this year has been a lot easier. It's not perfect. It doesn't mean I don't have issues. It doesn't mean we don't struggle. It means that when we remember who the Lord is, when we keep him in the front of our minds, it's not about us anymore. It's about him. It's not about what we're capable of. It's so that he can be exalted among the nations. It's so that he can be exalted on the earth. Our trouble and the things we face don't matter for us. What matters is that he is seen through it. That the Lord is the front and the center. God is our refuge and our strength. And he's here. It's not about us. So let me ask you, when you're facing troubles, do you remember the Lord? Is this something that you do? Do you actually think, you know, I need the Lord? When you're faced with trouble and trial and hardship in your life and difficulties, are you looking to him or do you look to yourself? Psalm 46 is this amazing reminder of who the Lord is. Martin Luther, a man who is famous because he broke away from the Catholic Church. He believed that faith was not through any work, but through grace alone. And because of that, he left and he basically started the kind of churches that we're in today. Well, by doing that, he faced a lot of hardship. He faced a lot of strife, people wanting him dead, people dragging his name through the mud, constant persecution, fear for his life. And he's quoted in saying that Psalm 46 is his favorite psalm. Actually, when talking about his persecution, this is what he said. He said, "Let us sing the 46th psalm and let them do their worst." Psalm 46 is a reminder. It's not that we don't go through difficulty. It's not that we don't have hardships and trials. It's not that we don't deal with things. It's not that we don't have anxiety or fear. It's that we have no need for it, and we need to remember who he is. To look to him. We should be still, know that he is God, and know that every single day, no matter what happens, the Lord of hosts is with us, and the God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. You stand and pray with me. Well, Lord, we just thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to just worship you today. Thankful for the opportunity to be able to see what your word has for us and to be learning about the Psalms, but to be most importantly learning about you and putting you forward in our lives. Setting you before anything else we might have and just making you the center of our attention through our hardship, through our trials, through our trouble, seeing you through it. God, I pray if there's anyone here who doesn't know you, who hasn't confessed you as Lord, that they would, and they would bow their lives before you. I pray if there's people here who are struggling, Lord, that they would see you through and they would be reminded about your goodness, your mercy, and your grace, your safety, and your strength. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.